Good evening. It is 5 p.m. on Thursday, June 11th, and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and this is Kingston Currents, your weekly roundup of the latest Limestone local news. CFRC's news programming is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. Coming up in today's episode, updates directly from City Hall, including a few stories from last week's City Council meeting. We'll also run through your weather and traffic report for this upcoming weekend, and a few events to keep on your radar from CFRC's events and concerts calendars. Without further delay, let's dive in. The proposed Patry Aquatic Park is no longer moving forward after the city and Patry Inc. Development failed to reach an agreement on a $1 million in-kind sponsorship. Council approved the sponsorship and naming rights arrangement in 2025 as part of the plans to expand swimming opportunities at Battery Park through an inflatable water park and enhanced swimming platform. This work is part of the larger Confederation Basin Promenade project, which includes a new accessible walkway and public space experience on the existing breakwall that shelters Flora McDonald Confederation Basin. At Council's last meeting, staff told Council that while the inflatable water park is no longer part of the plan without the sponsorship to support it, the enhanced swimming platform remains a valuable waterfront amenity.
This enhanced swimming platform that we're talking about is really more the creation of a bit of a swimming pool in the lake, if you wish. It's that concept that allows actually people, and especially kids, to have a more safe environment for swimming in the lake. It also provides space for parents to be around. It provides the ability for partners to deliver programs and lessons even within that space. So it's almost creating a bit of a swimming pool, but in the lake. So there would be a significant program difference between the two.
Staff informed Council that without the sponsorship funding, about $400,000 would need to be included in the 2027 capital budget to still deliver the swimming platform. After some questions to staff, several councillors supported the move, stressing that Kingston needs additional swimming opportunities, particularly with Culligan Water Park closed and the proposed Invista Aquatic Facility still years away.
It's clear that there's been a lot of work and time and discussion and consultation that's gone into this by staff, and you know, and I myself personally have relayed a lot of concerns from constituents to staff, and I'm very pleased with this proposal as it exists. And I think the other thing too that we really need to consider is, as part of our strategic plan, is trying to find creative ways to create new means of access for aquatics and recreation. And so I'm happy to support the recommendation in this report.
I think that especially with enclosing the Culligan pool at the Memorial Center, we've kind of lost some outdoor swimming space, and having an expanded swimming dock would really add back to that what we have lost. And I think that if we can do this, then that would be a great addition for the city for like programming, like was said before. So.
The end of the inflatable water park proposal was not a loss for some residents, who had opposed locating the attraction in Confederation Basin. Concerns raised included noise, traffic, parking pressures, and supervision requirements.
For one, we're very happy that you have the option to not proceed with the Patry Aquatic Park. That was very important to us from the get-go, and happy to see that there.
Some residents, however, remain concerned about the swimming platform itself, particularly around water safety.
So we would like to see reports on the safety, environmental safety of that basin before the community would be all excited about having that done. The marina is there. Boats come in. Young kids now are taking electronic speedboat things going through the basin there and having a good time. But there isn't any demarcation that's clear as to where there would be safety for swimmers who would actually be in the water enjoying it.
City staff assured that water quality is regularly monitored by both the city and public health officials, and that swimming access could be closed off if issues arise. However, councillors like Lisa Osanek remain unconvinced, arguing the decision to move forward with the platform is premature.
I think that this is a little bit too premature. Let's first build you know, the, what are we calling it, right? The big breakwater, right? The new parkway system, and then see how that breakwater is going to affect the water quality within there. This is like 400,000, just a little bit too soon. Let's build the promenade first. That gives us time to see, you know, the wave action, the water flow. At the same time, last year at this time, in 2025, when we were last talking about this, we hadn't actually approved the big condo that's going to be built right there next to the Marine Museum. And with that condo is going to be, if I believe the planning report correctly, a community benefit of a deep water dock. And so we're going to be having boats coming in, ships coming in, who knows how big. They could be using that dock, but also bringing diesel and other pollution with them. And again, that could affect the water quality in there too. And it might not become the big enhanced swimming area that we hope for right now. We don't know the effect.
In their report to council, city staff also proposed pursuing Grass Creek Park as a potential future location for an inflatable water park. Updated studies found the site to be suitable despite earlier concerns about shallow water. Any future project would require a Crown land lease and several regulatory approvals. A process staff estimate could take about 3 years. Council was asked to approve moving forward with pursuing these approvals. While supportive of both the additional $400,000 for the platform and pursuing the potential new site, Councillor Don Amos noted his disappointment in the inflatable water park proposal falling through.
I cannot say how much I am disappointed that this water park is not moving forward at this time. This is something our families need. This is something that that young children would enjoy, teenagers would enjoy. It's a full aspect of something that gets a lot of people talking in a positive way about our city. And now we're probably putting it on hold a minimum of 3 years, according to the report. The way the federal government works and the provincial government, we're probably looking at 5 years. So it's frustrating, and at the end of the day, our families lose out on this.
Ultimately, council approved both the swimming platform funding direction and the Grass Creek approvals process in separate 9-3 votes. Construction for the promenade project is expected to begin in 2027. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie. Council unanimously approved a motion at their last meeting to review and update the City of Kingston's ice allocation policy and guidelines to support equitable access, especially concerning change rooms. The motion was brought forward by Councillor Wendy Steven and seconded by Councillor Don Amos, after issues were brought forward concerning access to girls' change rooms.
So it started off with a very specific complaint that had happened a few times, and what it had to do with was specifically with girls' change rooms. So it was around co-ed organizations where there was some sort of breakdown in communication where the need of the change rooms wasn't being expressed clearly and therefore wasn't being provided properly at city facilities. So staff investigated when we brought this to them, and interestingly, they actually found, you know, yeah, there's some operational stuff here, but there's also a gap in our ice allocation policy. So while the ice allocation policy itself talks about equity of access, there's nothing in there about change rooms. And I think given the current political climate, I think it's important that we make sure that this is a piece of our policy so that this carries forward beyond whoever's in charge and whoever staff are, and that way it gives them clear direction what to follow.
Two amendments were made after community member Riffer Stone came forward with suggested changes for Stephen and Amos to make the motion more inclusive and forward-looking. Stone also appeared as a delegation to speak to the importance of using identity-based language rather than sex-based language prior to the vote. Amendments included changing language to ensure equitable access for all participants and directing staff to use identity-based language when formulating new policy.
It's changing the word female to all participants. That was the overall intention. The second piece of the amendment is touching on what River mentioned in the delegation, and it's talking about using identity-based language. So again, just giving staff that direction to start working towards that and looking at the policy through that different lens.
Councillors supported the amendments unanimously, also noting the alignment with efforts within ice sports to support inclusivity.
As a father of a couple girls who play hockey, I think this is a great amendment to this. Additionally, as a coach, there's a lot of courses that coaches take on exactly this. And it's something where just to be a coach, you now have to be quite aware of this and you have to manage these situations. So the fact that this is kind of aligning right with the coaching courses and how you can have, you know, more inclusivity and equity and all these things along with sports so that we don't inadvertently have people disappear from a sport because they didn't feel part of it. This is, I think, the right move to have a policy to really look at that and to correct any language errors that may exist there so that everybody can feel welcome.
Counselors were unanimously supportive of the final motion, coming not only with their perspectives as counselors, but also as coaches and members of Kingston's hockey community.
I have coached for a number of years, close to 15, and this has been a long struggle and battle to see equity brought forward in any sort of light in regards to hockey allocation or ice allocation. So I'm super proud that this is moving forward. I know our policy has been a little bit dated, and it's always good to review our policies and move them in a good direction. And for an old retired hockey coach, this is nice to see.
Staff will return to council with updated policy language and implementation recommendations by the end of summer 2026 for full implementation for the 2026-27 ice season. Once again, that was the latest from City Council. Before we get into more local news, let's take a look at your weather and traffic report for the rest of the week. Starting with some traffic updates to keep on your radar. Cranbrook Street between Dace Road and Lakeview Avenue is closed weekdays from 8:40 to 9:20 a.m. and 3:20 to 3:50 p.m. for the School Streets program at Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic School. Expect delays on King Street West between Country Club Drive and Front Road, where Utilities Kingston is installing new water and sanitary mains, with traffic reduced to one lane in each direction. Drivers may also encounter delays on Bath Road between Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard and Portsmouth Avenue, as crews install new pedestrian crossing signals. Construction continues on Johnson Street between University Avenue and Aberdeen Street for storm sewer improvements through July 30th. Motorists should expect delays on Taylor Kidd Boulevard between Coronation Boulevard and Collins Bay Road for paving and roadway improvements. Expect delays on Princess Street between Montreal and Bagot Streets, where traffic is reduced to one lane for utility repairs. In closures, Aberdeen Street between Johnson and William Streets remains closed for construction activity, while Berry Street near Queen is closed for work at 283 Queen Street. Princess Street between Frontenac and Division remains closed as part of a major reconstruction project by the city. Wright Crescent between Palace Road and Kingsland Crescent is closed for roadway repairs and pedestrian safety improvements. Sydenham Street remains closed all summer between Princess and Queen for the Sydenham Street Community Space Project. John Street between Montreal and Bagot remains closed until July 31st for water and sanitary service upgrades. And finally, Leo Lake Road will have intermittent closures from 8:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. through June 12th for rock excavation work. Taking a look at the weather for tonight and the next few days, as we head into the evening, skies will remain partly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers overnight and a low of 16 degrees. Looking ahead to the weekend, Friday will be mostly cloudy with a 60% chance of showers and a high of 23. Friday night sees cloudy periods and a low of 16. Saturday is shaping up to be the pick of the weekend with plenty of sunshine and a high of 25 degrees. Cloudy periods return Saturday night with a low of 16. Then on Sunday, skies turn mostly cloudy again with a 40% chance of showers and a high of 24. Sunday night remains cloudy with temperatures dipping to 13 degrees. This has been your quick Kingston Currents traffic and weather report. Now let's turn back to more local news. Diving back into some updates directly from the city of Kingston. The city is also highlighting recent accessibility improvements now available at several municipal facilities. In a release issued this week, the city announced that new assistive listening systems have been installed at City Hall, the Invista Center, and the Artillery Park Aquatic Center. The systems were launched as part of the city's ongoing efforts to make municipal services more accessible for residents and visitors who are deaf, hard of hearing, or who may benefit from amplified sound. According to the city, the technology provides clear, personalized audio that can help users better understand staff and access services. The systems are designed to work with a variety of hearing technologies. People using hearing aids or cochlear implants equipped with telecoil or T-coil can connect directly by switching their device to the appropriate setting. The systems also support AuraCast-enabled Bluetooth hearing devices, allowing users to receive audio wirelessly. For visitors who do not use hearing devices, handheld listening units are also available upon request and can provide amplified speech directly to the user. In the release, Deputy City Clerk Derek Ocek said, quote, "The introduction of assistive listening systems reflects our commitment to reducing barriers and improving access to city services. Accessibility is essential to customer service," end quote. The city says the systems are intended to help improve communication and ensure more residents can access municipal services independently and comfortably. This announcement coincided with National Accessibility Week, which recognizes the contributions of people with disabilities and promotes efforts to remove barriers in communities across Canada. City officials say the new systems represent another step in Kingston's broader accessibility and inclusion efforts. And with summer just around the corner, the City of Kingston is encouraging residents to get outside, get active, and make the most of the community spaces and programs available across the city. In a new release, the city is recognizing June as Recreation and Parks Month, a province-wide initiative that celebrates the role parks, recreation programs, and community spaces play in supporting healthy, active, and connected communities. City officials say the month is an opportunity for residents to explore parks, trails, recreation facilities, community programs, and outdoor events while taking advantage of the warmer weather. In the release, Tony Gargaro, Manager of Recreation and Leisure Services with the City of Kingston, said, quote, "June is a great time to get outside and take advantage of everything Kingston has to offer," end quote. Gargaro also added that whether residents are spending time in a local park, participating in a fitness program, or attending a community event, there are opportunities for people of all ages to stay active, connect with others, and enjoy the season. The city is highlighting a number of events and activities taking place throughout June. That includes regular visits to the Kingston Public Market in Springer Market Square and the Memorial Center Farmers Market, both of which continue to draw residents and visitors looking to shop local and spend time outdoors. The city is also encouraging residents to check out the annual Skeleton Park Arts Festival, which runs from June 19th through the 21st and features live music, arts program, and community activities. Be sure to tune in to Kingston Curator on Friday for more on that from CFRC. Families may also be interested in the K-Town Kids Run Bike Run event taking place on June 20th. While June 21st will see celebrations for National Indigenous Peoples Day, hosted by the Kingston Native Center and Language Nest in Confederation Park. Beyond special events, the city is reminding residents that they can take advantage of drop-in recreation opportunities throughout the month, including swimming, fitness classes, and organized sports programs. Kingston is also home to more than 200 parks and green spaces, offering opportunities to walk, bike, roll, play, cool off at splash pads, or simply spend time outdoors. The city notes that Recreation and Parks Month is recognized by Parks and Recreation Ontario, which promotes the health, social, environmental, and community benefits that Parks and Recreation services provide. The release also includes a reminder for residents who participate in city recreation programs. Officials say recreation accounts that have not yet verified a Kingston address are now subject to a 15% surcharge on recreation programming and may experience a 72-hour delay when registering for certain programs, including swimming lessons. Residents are being encouraged to verify their address through the city to ensure they continue receiving resident rates and registration privileges. The city says information on programs, facilities, registration, and upcoming events can be found through its Recreation Services website. With Kingston's 2026 municipal election now just a few months away, the city is looking for some local creativity to help celebrate democracy. In a release issued this week, the City of Kingston announced the launch of its 2026 Election Sticker Design Contest, inviting residents to create the official I Voted and Future Voter stickers that will be handed out during this fall's municipal election. The winning designs will be distributed at voting locations during advance voting on October 16th and 17th, as well as on Election Day, October 26th. City officials say the contest is intended to promote civic pride, encourage community engagement, and build excitement around participating in local democracy. Two contest categories are available this year. The first is an I Voted sticker category open to all Kingston residents. The second is a future voter category specifically for youth age 17 and under, with parent or guardian consent required for participants. The city says all submissions must be original designs that include the exact wording I voted or future voter depending on the category being entered. Designs must also fit within the city's official sticker template and comply with contest guidelines. According to the release, entries cannot contain political messaging, copyrighted images, corporate logos, offensive content, or AI-generated artwork. The city says the goal is to create designs that celebrate voting and civic participation while remaining nonpartisan and accessible to all residents. Submissions are being accepted now through July 3rd at 4 p.m. Once submission period closes, city staff will review all entries and create a shortlist of finalists. The public will then have the opportunity to vote online and help choose the winning designs. Those winning stickers will be professionally printed and handed out at voting locations throughout the election period. In addition to seeing their work distributed across the city, winners will also receive a sheet of printed stickers as a keepsake. Residents interested in participating can download the official contest template, review the contest rules, and submit their designs through the city's election engagement website. Paper submissions will also be accepted at City Hall's Elections Office, City Recreation Facilities, and branches of the Kingston Frontenac Public Library. The city says it hopes the contest will help residents engage with the upcoming municipal election while showcasing local creativity and community spirit. The city is encouraging residents and visitors to come together later this month to celebrate National Indigenous Peoples Day. In a release issued this week, the city announced details of the annual community celebration being hosted by the Kingston Native Center and Language Nest on June 21st at Confederation Park in downtown Kingston. The event will run from 1 p.m. until 6 p.m. and is free to attend. National Indigenous Peoples Day is observed across Canada each year on June 21st and is intended as an opportunity to recognize and celebrate the cultures, histories, and languages and contributions of First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people. The city says the day is also an opportunity for learning, reflection, and community building as residents continue conversations around understanding and reconciliation. According to the release, this year's celebration will feature an afternoon of cultural performances, community activities, workshops, food, storytelling, and opportunities to connect with Indigenous organizations and community members. Brandon Miracle, Executive Director of the Kingston Native Center and Language Nest, said, quote, June 21st is more than just an event. It's a meaningful gathering where people come together to encourage one another and celebrate the rich stories, cultures, and languages and communities that shape who we are, end quote. Throughout the afternoon, attendees can take part in drumming, singing, dancing, story sharing, and cultural learning activities. Organizers say there will also be hands-on workshops and interactive experiences designed for all ages. One of the central elements of the event will be a sacred fire, offering opportunities for reflection, prayer, and connection throughout the day. Visitors will also find community information booths featuring cultural teachings, demonstrations, and opportunities to engage with local organizations. Families attending the celebration can take advantage of a dedicated kids zone, which will include an inflatable corn maze, face painting provided by Oshkosh Face Painting, and other family-friendly activities. The event also features Indigenous artisans and vendors selling handcrafted goods, artwork, and traditional crafts. A variety of food options will also be available on site. Organizers say there will be giveaways and additional opportunities for community connection throughout the afternoon. In the release, Amber Bryan Peller, the City of Kingston's Manager of Indigenous Initiatives, said, quote, National Indigenous Peoples Day is an invitation for people to experience and celebrate Indigenous cultures, deepen understanding, and build meaningful connections within community, end quote. Bryan Peller added that the city is grateful to the Kingston Native Center and Language Nest for leading the event and creating a space where Indigenous traditions can be shared and honored. Once again, the celebration takes place Sunday, June 21st from 1 until 6 p.m. at Confederation Park across from City Hall. Additional information about the event is available through the City of Kingston's events calendar. Once again, those were some of the latest messages directly from the city of Kingston. Before we wrap up this evening, I'm going to run through your weekend forecast, a roundup of just some of the events Kingston has to offer to finish off your week. It's shaping up to be a busy weekend around Kingston with Pride celebrations, festivals, markets, live entertainment, and plenty of chances to get out and enjoy the city. Tonight, after the show wraps up, Music Trivia Night gets underway at Something in the Water Brewing, Riverhead Brewery hosts trivia, and La Vida Bistro Bar has music trivia bingo, all starting at 7 p.m. Later in the evening, karaoke kicks off at Jersey's at 8:30 p.m. and The Buckle at 9 p.m., while La Vida Bistro Bar hosts its weekly urban music social beginning at 9:30 p.m. Friday, June 12th starts with its live drag and burlesque show at Musiki at 5 p.m. At 7 p.m., Slush Puppy Place hosts the 2026 OHL Priority Selection, while Trivia Night gets underway at Wild Wings Kingston. Friday night also features karaoke at The Buckle and Daft Brewing, both starting at 9 p.m. Or if you're looking to catch a movie, Scary Movie and Backrooms are screening at Thousand Islands Drive-In at 9 p.m. On Saturday, June 13th, we start with the Kingston Public Market at Springer Market Square, running from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. The community fair takes place at Confederation Park from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. At noon, the Kingston Pride Parade begins at the Memorial Center, while the Ukraine Folklore Festival runs from noon until 5 p.m. at Regiopolis Notre Dame Catholic High School. At 1 p.m., YGK Beer Fest gets underway at Fort Henry, while workshops Writing to Mend, Bending to Write with Alana Veach takes place at Cultivate Arts Commons, and Choreographic Thinking for Artists begins at Kingston School of Dance. At 2 p.m., the Test Center hosts the Ontario Serendipity Tour documentary screening. In the evening, the Out on the Queen boat cruise departs from Kingston Thousand Islands Cruises at 6:40 p.m. Line dancing starts at The Buckle at 7 p.m., followed by Of Love, Loss, and Longing East and West at St. John the Apostle Church at 7:30. At 8:30 p.m., Daft Brewing hosts Yuck Yuck's stand-up comedy featuring Jeff McHenry. The Scary Movie and Backroom screening returns to the Thousand Islands Drive-In at 9 p.m., while Glow After Dark begins at La Vida Bistro at 10 p.m. And finally, the Gay Pride Dance Party starts at Bottoms Up at 10:30 p.m. Sunday, June 14th starts with the Memorial Center Farmers Market at the Kingston Memorial Center from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. At 10:30 a.m., the Kingston Native Center and Language Nest hosts a nature walk departing from City Park. The Kingston Pride Recovery Brunch gets underway at the Wharf and Feather at noon. Sunday night brings one final showing of Scary Movie and Backrooms at the Thousand Islands Drive-In at 9 p.m., while karaoke wraps up the weekend at both The Merchant and The Toucan starting at 9 p.m. That wraps up your quick weekend forecast. Once again, that was just some of the events Kingston has to offer this weekend. Be sure to head to cfrc.ca for our full events and concerts listings. If you have an event or concert you'd like to add to our online or on-air calendar, reach out today via cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. That is all things current in Kingston for this week. Thank you for listening to CFRC's local news programming, brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. To revisit episodes and listen on the go, head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.